Welcome to the OCR GCSE Music Study Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in the next 10 minutes, we're going to cover everything you need to know about instrumental music from 1700 to 1820. That's Area of Study 2 on your OCR specification. Whether you're revising for your listening exam or just trying to get these two eras straight in your head, you're in exactly the right place. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's dive in. This topic sits at the heart of your GCSE music course. It covers two distinct musical eras, the Baroque, running roughly from 1700 to 1750, and the Classical, from 1750 to 1820. Your job in the exam is to listen to extracts and identify which era you're hearing, describe what you hear using precise musical vocabulary, and explain how musical features relate to the period. The assessment objectives for this area are AO3, that's notating and performing, and AO4, which is listening and appraising. Together, they make up the full weighting for this topic, so getting your listening vocabulary sharp is absolutely essential. Let's start with the Baroque era. When you hear a Baroque concerto, there are some unmistakable fingerprints. The most important one, and the one that earns marks most reliably in the exam, is the basso continuo. This is the harmonic foundation of Baroque music. It typically consists of a cello or bassoon playing the bass line, while a harpsichord fills in the chords above it. The harpsichord is your single biggest clue that you're in the Baroque era. It has that distinctive, bright, plucked sound. It cannot get louder or softer by touch the way a piano can, which leads us straight to another key feature, terraced dynamics. In the Baroque era, dynamics change suddenly and in steps, loud, then suddenly soft, then loud again. There are no gradual crescendos or diminuendos. Think of it like a staircase. You jump from one level to the next. Baroque texture is polyphonic. That means multiple independent melodic lines are happening simultaneously, weaving around each other in an intricate, ornate way. You'll often hear imitation, where one instrument copies a melody heard in another, like a musical conversation. Baroque music is also highly ornamented, with trills, mordants, and turns decorating the melodic lines. The structural form used in Baroque concerti is called ritornello form. The word ritornello means little return in Italian, and that's exactly what happens. A main theme, played by the full orchestra, called the tutti, keeps returning throughout the movement. In between these returns, the soloist plays contrasting episodes in different keys. So the structure goes tutti, solo, episode, tutti, solo, episode, tutti, and so on. The key point for the exam is that the ritornello theme always comes back, and it's always played by the full orchestra. The key composers of the Baroque concerto you need to know are Antonio Vivaldi, famous for the Four Seasons and his enormous output of violin concerti, and Johann Sebastian Bach, whose Brandenburg concerti are masterpieces of Baroque orchestral writing. George Frederick Handel is also important, particularly for his orchestral suites. Now let's move into the Classical era, from 1750 to 1820. The shift from Baroque to Classical is one of the most dramatic transformations in music history, and the exam loves to test whether you can hear and describe it accurately. The most fundamental change is in texture. Classical music moves away from polyphony towards homophony. Homophonic texture means there is one clear melody on top, supported by chords underneath. Think of it as a singer with an accompaniment. One voice leads, everything else supports. A very common classical accompaniment pattern is the Alberti bass, named after the Italian composer Domenico Alberti. Instead of playing chords all at once, the left hand of the keyboard player breaks them up into a repeating pattern. Lowest note, highest note, middle note, highest note, over and over. It creates a gentle, flowing accompaniment that you'll hear constantly in classical piano music. The keyboard instrument of the classical era is the fortepiano, the early version of the modern piano. Unlike the harpsichord, the fortepiano can respond to touch. Press harder and it gets louder. Press softer and it gets quieter. This enables one of the most important classical features, gradual dynamics. Instead of terraced steps, classical composers use crescendos, getting gradually louder, and diminuendos, getting gradually softer. This gives the music a much more expressive, flowing quality. Classical phrasing is balanced and symmetrical. You'll often hear four-bar phrases that feel like questions and answers, a musical sentence that sets up a tension, then resolves it. This is very different from the continuous, flowing lines of Baroque music. The structural form of the classical concerto is sonata form. This has three sections. First, the exposition, where two contrasting subjects or themes are introduced. Subject one is in the home key, the tonic. Subject two is in a related key, usually the dominant. Then comes the development, where the composer takes those themes apart, modulates through different keys, and creates harmonic tension. Finally, the recapitulation brings both subjects back, but this time both are in the tonic key, resolving the tension. Classical concerti also feature a cadenza, a solo passage near the end of a movement where the soloist shows off their virtuosity, often improvised or written to sound improvised before the orchestra returns for the final bars. The classical era also saw the expansion of the orchestra. Clarinets were added to the woodwind section. This is important because the clarinet was not used in the Baroque era. The orchestra became larger and more standardized, with strings, woodwind, brass, and timpani all playing defined roles. Key classical composers include Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, who wrote 27 piano concerti and 5 violin concerti of extraordinary elegance. Joseph Haydn essentially invented the symphony as we know it. And Ludwig van Beethoven, whose later works bridged the classical and romantic eras, pushing the boundaries of form and expression. Now, let's talk exam technique and common mistakes, because this is where marks are won and lost. Mistake number one, calling the harpsichord a piano. This is one of the most common errors in the listening exam, and it costs marks every single time. If you hear that bright, plucked, non-dynamic keyboard sound, it is a harpsichord, and it means Baroque. If you hear a keyboard that can get louder and softer expressively, that's a forte piano or piano, and it means classical or later. Mistake number two, vague texture descriptions. Saying the music sounds thick or busy will not earn you marks. You must use the correct terms. Polyphonic means multiple independent melodic lines. Homophonic means one melody with chordal accompaniment. Unison means everyone playing the same notes together. Learn these three and use them precisely. Mistake number three, confusing tempo and rhythm. Tempo is the speed of the music. Allegro means fast, adagio means slow, andante means walking pace. Rhythm is the pattern of long and short notes. These are different things, and the examiner will not credit an answer that confuses them. Mistake number four, attributing the clarinet to the Baroque era. The clarinet was not a standard orchestral instrument until the classical period. If you hear clarinets, you're in the classical era or later. For comparison questions, and these are very common, always make direct comparisons on the same musical element. Don't say, extract A has violins and extract B is in a minor key. That's comparing two different things. Instead say, extract A is in a major key, whereas extract B is in a minor key. Or, extract A uses terrace dynamics, whereas extract B uses gradual crescendos. Same element, direct comparison. That's what earns the mark. When identifying an era, always link the feature to the period explicitly. Don't just say, I can hear a harpsichord. Say, I can hear a harpsichord, which indicates this is from the Baroque era. That explicit link is what the mark scheme is looking for. Now let's do a quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, pause the audio, think of your answer, then I'll give you the answer. Ready? Question one. What is the name of the harmonic foundation used in Baroque music consisting of a bass instrument and a keyboard filling in chords? The answer is basso continuo. Question two. What term describes the texture where multiple independent melodic lines occur simultaneously? The answer is polyphonic. Question three. In ritornello form, what is the name given to the full orchestral passages that return throughout the movement? The answer is tutti or ritornello. Question 4. What is the name of the broken chord accompaniment pattern commonly used in classical keyboard music? The answer is Alberti bass. Question 5. What are the three sections of sonata form? The answer is exposition, development, and recapitulation. Question 6. Which woodwind instrument was added to the orchestra in the classical era but was not present in the Baroque? The answer is the clarinet. How did you do? If you got all 6, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review those sections. So let's wrap up. The key to this topic is being able to hear the difference between Baroque and classical music and describe it with precision. Remember your Baroque fingerprints, harpsichord, basso continuo, terrace dynamics, polyphonic texture, ornamentation, and ritornello form. And your classical fingerprints, forte piano, Alberti bass, gradual dynamics, homophonic texture, balanced phrasing, and sonata form. Use the correct Italian terms for tempo and dynamics. Make direct comparisons when comparison questions come up. And always link the feature to the era explicitly. You've got this. Keep listening actively to the set works, keep practicing those descriptions, and those marks will follow. Good luck in your exam. I'll see you in the next episode.